Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 17th of January, recording at 8:03 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. Japan, big downward dynamics by this bellwether market, or what's become the bellwether market. And that caused a pull over other markets for the most part. There were some exceptions, mainly in the resources areas. Australia hitting a new high, for instance. The softness and the weakness in Japan, those downward dynamics, certainly weighed on the European stock markets and also Wall Street when it opened, although Wall Street has pulled back those declines somewhat, but it'll face a pretty stiff headwind in terms of efforts to rally here. Because the big story on the day is the crude oil price move. Even bigger than the Japan story, crude's up 239, and here it's 66.31 on the NYMEX crude. Again, in line with and again on the charts, that's another breakout point. And this is not what most people have been talking about. Okay. Now, you've heard me say so many times, the markets are always going to be emotional. That's really because I should be saying not markets, but crowds. The crowds that drive the markets are always emotional. And we get sentiment swinging in these big arcing moves from the manic to the depressive and back again. And sometimes it takes quite a long time to get from one extreme to the other, and sometimes it's happening relatively rapidly. Well, we had manic for the first half of January, and when all markets were rising, and now it looks like we're getting a dose of the depressive coming in here. And while in the first half of the month, people were saying what an ideal environment this was, that growth was good, inflation was contained, they were saying, and what else were they saying to justify that corporate profits were terrific, and that the U.S. was probably near a peak in its interest rate cycle, so it was really all go, and that we'd have terrific gains this year. Well, now suddenly people are starting to worry about all sorts of things, not least Iran and Nigeria, as far as the oil is concerned. They're worried about resources wars now. This is surfacing once. Well, it's close to the surface, but again, this is back in on the websites and in some of the headlines. And then they're talking or revising again the articles on pandemics and talking about how serious this could be. So, what's really changed? Well, not a whole heck of a lot, but except for sentiment in here. So what do we actually make of it? Let's take Japan first. I've been talking about how the move was slowing overall, and we had that weak performance by the bank sector, which had led on the way up. I should go back to last summer when Japan was breaking out on the upside, completing its base formation with the banks. Crucial lead indicator leading. Well, as you know, banks lost upward momentum last month and were putting in a generally soft performance earlier this month. Now they didn't extend that decline in here today, but the point is that they've got to go back up to for that lead indicator to improve. Now the TSE2, that second section index, had continued to push up, and I've often referred to that as a lead indicator, but something had to give in here, either regarding the banks or the TSE2, because they were pointing in opposite directions, and the TSE2 had a downward dynamic in here today. So if we haven't seen the actual top of this rally for Japan, this terrific medium-term rally, now I'm not talking about the top of the whole bull market cycle for Japan, far from it. I maintain that this is a major secular bull market, but what I am saying is that if we haven't reached the top near 16,500 on the Nikkei stock average, That doesn't represent the high point for this excellent medium-term rally that we've seen since July last year. Then we're probably pretty close to that high overall. Now, what normally happens, and we have described this pattern over and over, and it was the sort of thing one could describe following the base completion, was that we would get an explosive move up out of the base, confirming that it was indeed a base and that Japan's bull market proper, its secular bull market, was well and truly underway. Then, and we'd get the explosive move because there'd be few sellers about, we'd have one-way traffic. Then we'd get a little bit of profit taking, and we'd get more of a two-way ranging sort of small step staircase sequence type of activity, which would last longer but be a slower portion of the rise. And then that would gradually lose momentum and spill over. And I think we're in the spillover phase in here now. Now, what about other stock markets around the world? Of course, because there are plenty more of those. But Japan, I do regard as one of the most important ones, not only in terms of the long term, but also because, as I've said repeatedly, and it's a point worth repeating, that it has become the bellwether rather than Wall Street, although Wall Street will, of course, still have a huge influence overall. So, to try to bring all of this together, and well, no, I haven't let me add in some of the other developments that have taken place. A number of those European markets were certainly looking overextended. We've had a number of accelerations. Those are unsustainable beyond the short term. So, a lot of warning signs in the markets that just all make me feel that it really is late in this cycle, this fabulous run that we've seen since March 2003, 33 months and counting. I don't think we have that much further to go, but equally, I'm not yet prepared to blow the whistle and say that's it. It's definite that it's over. What I do feel is that it's a better time to be thinking about where you're going to raise cash, if you're going to be raising some cash, rather than how can I get more money into the stock market at this stage. The risks of a significant medium-term correction this year are quite high, as I've said all along. And if we don't get that, the only reason that I can think of is because the liquidity that's pumped into the system just continues and is so great that that tide continues to lift all boats. But to me, that's kind of a utopian scenario here for this year, especially with some of the major concerns that I have, and oil is certainly excuse me, one among them. And at the end of last year, you know, people were talking about oil in the $40 range, if not below. And again, you know, the Katrina highs are certainly within sight. My own view, and I talked about this this morning, early this morning on CNN, was that we would see oil move up this year and take out that Katrina highs. In other words, we're going to go above those levels, and that people will be surprised in terms of how high the average price for oil is in 2006 overall. Now, one wants to really put that into perspective. I would say that the oil price actually isn't all that high. Now, of course, it's a lot higher than it was, say, 3 years ago. But if we adjust current levels for inflation, there were periods during the 70s and the 1980s when oil prices were not that far below the levels that we actually see today, and we're much more efficient users of oil, but of course we use more of the stuff overall. But on the CNN program, the presenters, and this was mainly Todd Benjamin, was far more interested in talking about the, you know, the news item of the moment, Iran and Nigeria. Well, those are two important producers, and so it's understandable that people are focusing on that, and perhaps well, not perhaps, there's no doubt that that's put a bit of a premium on the price relative to supplies available in the marketplace. But you know, these are passing events in what is this huge supply demand secular change that's taking place. And even if peak oil is a few years or perhaps even a decade or more out, as some of the optimists actually feel, what is an absolute fact is that the demand for crude oil is growing every year. And in 2006, the sort of average estimate in terms of global consumption of oil is 85 million barrels a day. And you think about that, 85 million barrels a day. Well, to replace that, we would have to find, the world would have to find some 31 billion barrels. 31 billion barrels. That's what we're going to use this year in terms of oil supplies. Now, they're certainly not finding oil at a rate anything like that. Sure, a few proven reserves will be upgraded, and yes, there's plenty of this stuff about in unconventional oil forms, but you get the picture. Now, so I'm of the I'm in that group, and have been all along, that's quite concerned about this. But we have to be careful. I was looking at one website earlier today that a subscriber had drawn to my attention, which very carefully took all the points that Matthew Simmons and lots of other people have been making and quoted from all the books on oil and had endless links, lots of information on this. But then contrived to draw the worst possible conclusion that they possibly could on every single one of these points. And really, if I believed everything that I read on that website today, then I might as well just go jump off the nearest very high bridge with a hard surface underneath. And I'm not at all that pessimistic. Yes, it's a scary situation, and it is going to cause some problems. And I don't doubt that there will be a recession or several recessions that will occur over the next decade or two as we have to address this problem. But necessity is the mother of invention, to coin a phrase. And I think that again, people will be able to tackle this, but it's just going to take time. Well, I'm waffling too much on this, so now let's get on to the markets in here. Today, risks rising for stock markets. That's the key point I want to make in here. Now, in precious metals, a little bit of rocky action here in line with the weakness of stock markets. Now, people might say, well, what's the relationship there? Well, they all moved up together. So if investors think that, now, wait a minute, the glass isn't half full, it's half empty, then they're going to take profits and everything. They're going to take money off the table. And book profits, in other words, and we will see reactions in all of these markets. And we had seen pretty persistent rises in silver and gold and so on. These are very much secular bull markets, so I'm not worried about a huge correction in here by these markets. But they're a little bit risky here in the short term. And when we do see what I think will be a medium-term correction in global stock markets lasting 2 to 3 months, which will take the various indices down from 10 to 30%, depending on which index we're talking about, the bigger markets, developed country markets, should get the smaller percentage declines overall. Some of the more questionable moves in terms of overheating in emerging markets will produce some of the bigger reactions, I suspect. And against that background, I'd really be quite surprised if we didn't see commodity prices come down. Again, for the same reason of profit taking that I mentioned, if they all move up together, it'd be hardly be surprising if they all came down together for a while. And also, people will start extrapolating economic ramifications in terms of the in terms of the stock market correction that I envisage. And they'll say, well, if markets are coming down, that must mean that profits are going to go off the boil and growth is going to slow and we may well have a recession, and so there'll be less use for commodities, and that will be less inflationary than might have otherwise been the case, so therefore precious metals are going to react. You can see how this will all be strung together. And my feeling is all that will, well, the most significant change will not be fundamental economic, but the fact that suddenly, in terms of investor perceptions, the glass has gone from half full to half empty. Now, in here today, I mentioned the oil price breakout up to 38. Natural gas is not doing as well as crude oil, but it's finally broken the series of consecutive day declines that we had been seeing. Currently up half a dollar, just over half a dollar as I speak. That's almost an upward dynamic in here. I think that we almost certainly saw the bottom at that for natural gas in the $9 level, a little bit below, but it hasn't moved up as sharply initially as crude oil has, because the immediate concern over Nigeria and the immediate concern over Iran, that's more oil supplies rather than gas supplies. There's certainly not gas supplies to the US, and we still have those warm weather forecasts for the US winter, but that can change very rapidly as well. So in dogs of the portfolio department, the natural gas and my portfolio I'm talking about, natural gas position looking a little better. I was very tempted to pick up a bit more in here today, and I may yet do that. I really did want to see a clear upward dynamic this time. Okay, anything else that I need to mention in here? I think those are the highlights, basically. I told you that gold had backed off those highs, but still pretty firm overall at 554.85, but it was up to 564.30 early this morning. I think that was mostly in Asian trading. So expect a bit of choppy turbulence in here for markets generally. Now, I'm away tomorrow. I mentioned that on the website. I've got one of those little bodily repair numbers. Nothing serious, but needs to be done. So I will be back on Thursday, fighting fit, and looking forward to the additional challenge. Owen, of course, will be in the hot seat tomorrow. All the best.